Tonight, Unreported World is at the forefront of Gaza's underground art scene, where young Gazans find and express themselves in the face of an Israeli blockade and the censors of an Islamist government. In a place where many are traumatized by years of conflict, Jonathan Miller discovers that cultural expression can be just as formidable as rockets and bullets. But in Gaza, simple pleasures like putting on a play or going to the cinema aren't really that simple at all. Some, however, are determined to try.
Gaza only ever explodes onto our screens when Israel bombs it and rockets are flying. But as the dust settles, a very different picture emerges.
A woman dances, then says, "I'm happy with the reaction. It's angry, but it's real."
Young Gazans, fed up with life in a pressure cooker, are fighting to assert their identity in Palestinian culture.
I see that as a Palestinian, we need to reanalyze everything. Every step of our history.
Blockaded by Israel, ruled by Islamists, they're challenging the status quo.
So it's reflect our reality. It's not a play. It's something else.
And fighting for their own identity.
A slogan: culture as a form of resistance. A man standing behind a lectern is highlighted with an oval, then an arrow extends from the image to a map of Gaza. Unreported World. Gaza, daring to dream. In a sunlit garden, red flowers wave in a breeze.
Far from the razor wire ramparts of the world's largest open-air prison, there's a private oasis. They call it the gallery.
One man strums a guitar, while other people sit around tables in an outdoor space with murals on the walls.
A rehearsal's underway for a new play that sails close to the wind.
A cable's plugged into a mixing desk, and three people do warm-up exercises in a performance venue.
The play has a cast of just two, Rahaf on the left and Yassin. They're with their choreographer, Bashar.
Stop.
As Jonathan watches the rehearsal, Bashar gives instructions to the actors. Wait a little. From left to right. Left to right.
The play has an intriguing title. In Arabic, Mish Masrahi, which means this is not a play.
This is pretty unique because this is a Palestinian Romeo and Juliet. It's about two lovers separated by a wall. Actually, they're separated because one is in Gaza and one is in the West Bank.
The liberal arts and political Islam do not sit happily, and women over the age of 14 can't perform in public. At 19, Rahaf is already an accomplished actress and musician. But under Hamas rule, Rahaf can only perform in private.
Rahaf sings, "Very hard is your absence, very hard is this distance. Whenever I sleep, you sleep in my eyes too."
Why is it not a play?
Rahaf says, because the play talks about a specific reality. It is not something that requires a great effort, acting or memorizing. It is our life.
To outsiders, the very word Gaza has become synonymous with death and destruction. Because Israel brands Hamas a terrorist organization, Gaza has been subjected to a suffocating siege for the past 15 years. Most of its 2.3 million people, half of them children, survive on humanitarian assistance.
If you're a teenager in Gaza, you'll have already lived through five separate conflicts. They'll have endured an Israeli siege for as long as most have lived. Among young people, there is a mental health crisis of absolutely staggering proportions, and it's frankly not hard to see why.
Most Gazans have never been outside their tiny strip of land. There's nowhere to escape to.
Why did you used to come to this park so much?
We don't have many parks in Gaza.
Rahaf, like anyone who's grown up in this violent, overcrowded ghetto, yearns to live a normal life.
So you can be happy in Gaza?
No, there is nothing that makes me happy in Gaza. When I was younger, I was happy because I could do what I wanted to do. Film of Rahaf singing with a group of musicians outdoors.
Rahaf's band boasts millions of views on YouTube, but as Gaza's first female street performer, she's flirting with danger, running the gauntlet of the morality police. Anywhere else, Rahaf might be headed for stardom, not in Gaza.
They're seated on a low wall shaded by trees. Rahaf asks, "Should I stay here and accept my fate and just adapt? Because my dream is different from what my country demands of me and contradicts its laws? This is a very difficult decision to make." After dark, Jonathan drives past lit-up shops towards a barrier with a stop sign.
Hamas checkpoints are everywhere. Some are unlit, manned by soldiers in balaclavas. Informers watch everything. There's a deep paranoia, not entirely unjustified, about collaborators and Israeli spies.
After you.
I've come to meet Bashar, the play's choreographer.
How you doing, guys?
He wanted to introduce me to his dance troupe, but since the female performers were pulled off stage earlier this year and Bashar was questioned and threatened, it's been men only.
So what you're about to show me is your troupe performing.
On a screen, the mixed troupe singing and dancing.
They draw on traditional Palestinian debka, but with a contemporary twist. The themes center on women's rights and the Israeli siege. This was the show that landed them in trouble.
In the room, a group of men and two young women watch the filmed performance on the screen.
All of these songs have meanings. These meanings connect us to our people.
Connect you to Palestine or more specifically Gaza?
Palestine.
It's all about Palestine. So in Gaza, because you're coming together a group of refugees really from all over, do you use all the different styles of debka? Right, okay.
Bashar says we mostly perform debka, but when we want to raise issues, we turn to modern dance. Debka is more than just a dance where we move our feet, he explains. It also expresses a range of emotions. For instance, when we hold our hands, it symbolizes unity. When our feet touch the ground, we're taking ownership of the space.
Okay, just go easy, there might be a little issue outside.
We'd been warned that an informer had alerted Hamas police to our presence.
All good?
We had to leave. It was a reminder of the risks these young artists are taking. But there are some who persist in pretending life's normal, even for a short while.
Seated in a chair, Rahaf adjusts her head covering. Rahaf sings, "My love and my lover, oh, my tears and my flame, you don't know me. What do I do?" One man films her on his phone while another plays a lute-like instrument.
We've come into a pretty special occasion here. Do you guys do this sort of on a regular basis, just hang out and play this music?
If you hide something from me, my eyes will understand.
Celebration of even Palestinian culture has been forced underground.
Keep your sweet eyes safe from the eye of the enemy. Three young women in head coverings smile and sway to the rhythm of the song, and the listeners clap along. Rahaf holds up a phone to film the group and gives a peace sign with her other hand.
Rahaf, when you're world famous, I will remember this moment.
Inshallah.
I hope.
Can you perform this music publicly in Gaza?
19-year-old Rahaf, who, like the other women, is wearing mascara, eyeliner and lipstick, explains, "Real singing on stage with a band is not allowed, but I can shoot videos for social media without any problem."
I understand that it's difficult to talk politics in Gaza. I truly understand that. But you're in a very private space here doing this. And is that because you're just not comfortable in a space really bigger than this because of the politics here?
Of course, this small space is safer, says Rahaf. But as an artist, it limits the freedom that I have to express myself. Flowers in the garden. Then in the gallery, Rahaf and Yassine on stage.
It's the final dress rehearsal for the play that is not a play. Gaza's Romeo and Juliet on the West Bank are still pining. Life in Gaza is restrictive enough under Hamas, but it's the Israeli blockade that's been hardest to bear.
On stage, Rahaf says, "Okay, when I come to Gaza, you can show me the sea. Do you know, I've never seen the sea before in my life."
These lines disguise a terrible sadness that goes beyond the longing of lovers. It's the longing for a lost land.
I'm constantly moved by what I see, you know, and the fact that you're so closely reflecting your own experience as Gazans.
Gaza is only a few kilometers long, but it's full of stories. But the occupation and the situation here is holding us back. My dream is to be a professional actor in Europe.
Yeah, everyone's got this dream.
Everyone is chasing their dream.
One of the things which sucked the joy out of life was the burning down and closure of cinemas. They were deemed dens of pornography by Islamist extremists. A whole generation's grown up without ever having been to the movies.
The division between Fatah and Hamas is suspended. So suddenly the theatre closed.
Oh, so that's when the theatre actually closed down?
Yeah.
But Muntasser is on a mission to change that. He's helping to renovate this old cinema.
Take me in.
Let's go.
It looks really nice already.
If you can smell the painting, it's still...
Yeah, it smells of fresh paint.
So we're painting the walls, the steels.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Muntasser's a cinematographer, and he longs for the day fellow Gazans can share his obsession.
What does it mean for you to be able to rehabilitate this lovely old theatre and to get it running again?
It's a great moment.
A crowd walks on a red carpet past bombed buildings.
Muntasser and his fellow enthusiasts have already pulled off a coup de théâtre, launching Palestine's Red Carpet Film Festival. It was held in Shijaya, part of Gaza City reduced to rubble by Israeli warplanes in 2014.
People sit in rows in front of a screen.
The newly refurbished cinema is now being readied for the first post-pandemic Red Carpet Festival.
You guys have started up this Palestinian Film Festival, the Red Carpet Film Festival, and you're going to open this theatre.
Yeah.
Next month?
We dream.
End of this month?
Yeah, it's in this month. What? That's the plan.
Are you taking a risk doing this?
I cannot imagine my work without risk. Risk is something became normal. I feel ashamed when I'm talking about what happened to us as activities here in Gaza. And when we feel that some of the Palestinians was fighting us. And
fighting each other?
Yeah. And fighting us as a people. When we start talking about the cinema, everyone here related to the government start fighting us. They feel that we are related to the devil. Yeah, really. I'm not joking.
Muntasser wanted to show me one of his films.
Yeah. Test mic, 1, 2, 3, test mic. Yeah, perfect.
A docudrama screened here for the first time in Gaza.
In the refurbished theatre, Jonathan watches film of a group of people in a field running as clouds of thick black smoke fill the air.
It's about one of many Gazans shot by Israeli snipers during the Great March of Return in 2018, when Palestinians demanded their right to return to their lands, now in Israel.
Stand up so we can see the doctor before he leaves.
Hamas refused Montasser's application to screen his film in Gaza. It was deemed too critical of Hamas and too questioning of their glorification of martyrdom.
Oh no, it's power cut.
It's shut down. That's the reality of Gaza.
Truly. So what are you actually trying to say in this film and the other films?
I see that as a Palestinian, we need to reanalyze everything. My movie always express the old bad feelings that I give it from my country. I try to show them how they affect on me, on my body. When I cannot sleep at the night, when I have this kind of nightmare and afraid to talk about it because I'm a man who's supposed not to afraid from war. They teach us that we are a hero, but we are not. We are a human.
A low sun sinks beyond the garden.
Tonight, at the gallery, the play that is not a play will be performed in front of an invited audience for the first time.
A stagehand climbs a stepladder up to the light. Make sure the rig's installed well. Salem, pay attention to the rig. Check it well. A musician strums his lute-like stringed instrument.
This production promises to be nothing less than a blast of Palestinian theatrical realism.
Chairs are arranged in rows.
Tonight's audience, all actors in this, I suppose. Montasser joins me.
So you never get any trouble with the Hamas police coming here?
It's a private one.
So because it's like a private house?
Yeah, it's something like a private house.
It's a useful trick. So it means that Rahaf can perform.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't be able to perform if it was on a...
It's impossible.
...public stage. Impossible.
Yeah.
In this tragedy, Romeo is called Muhammad and Juliet, Hind.
On stage, Rahaf takes a call on a mobile.
Hello?
Hello.
All this suffering because we cannot drive the 3 hours between me and you?
Hind.
We cannot stay silent, says Yassin. We must speak out, say what we think, and demand our rights.
Suddenly, a familiar theme.
Do you really have a cinema? Is there anywhere in the world without a cinema? Everywhere in the world has a cinema and theatre, but not Gaza.
A love-struck Gazan Romeo and a West Bank Juliet acting out scenes from a life all here knew only too well.
On stage, Yassin looks about him, alarmed. Mohammed, what's that noise? Is it close? What do you think is happening? It's a bombing. Mom, Mohammed is being bombed.
Hello.
At the end of the performance, the actors receive the applause. Yassin says, "Thank you, brilliant audience. The play was full of themes, lines, and lots of stories. What meant the most to you as Gazans?" A woman in the audience answers, "I'm currently rebuilding my house, but I know it could be destroyed again. Genuinely, when I hang a chandelier, I wonder when it will fall again. Today, I insisted that my 3 children join me. When we have power cuts, they need to know this is part of our lives. Is there something that spoke to you specifically about life in Gaza? You mentioned the patient who died while waiting for his permit. Like him, we are a nation still waiting."
Really getting the feeling that this play, which was not a play, was really a bit too close to the bone for some people here.
The name of the show is It's Not a Play. So it's reflect our reality. That's why Jamal named it It's Not a Play. It's something else. It's more.
Is the problem with these angry reactions is that it's just a bit too real?
Yeah, it's too close to for our reality. But when we are starting about talking, when we started talking about our reality, you will see that the people are very angry because they haven't their space to express their feelings. It's the first time that they can saying what they feel. It's the first time.
It's an explosive mix. The misery of life in this Israeli open-air prison, run by Islamists as a police state.
I am one of those people who've never visited the West Bank in 15 years. 15 years since I was last able to visit my homeland. You begin to forget that there is even a place called the West Bank. No matter what we say, social media pages are shut down. There are beatings, arrests and disappearances. You don't know where they disappear to. This sows fear in people's hearts.
I saw some angry people there. How do you feel having done the play? Do you feel that it was a bit too close to reality?
Rahaf says, this anger is from people who have been suffering for 20 years, all of them from the world of art. It's like rubbing salt in the wound. But I am happy with their reaction, because even though it is angry, it's real. Chairs are tidied away. A low sun in an orange sky, then people strolling along a beach and splashing in the shallows.
This is where Gazans come to relax. At least we have a beach, they say. And they have a horizon.
After all these years of Israeli blockade and repressive Islamist control, it seems that the real war being waged here is actually inside the minds of Gazans themselves. It's a war against fatalism, this creeping acceptance that somehow all this weird dystopia is somehow normal. But as long as they can keep on reminding themselves that it's not, I guess there's purpose and there's hope.
After dark, Rahaf and her friends sit around a beach cafe table.
Rahaf's not performing tonight. This is where she and her band of friends come to unwind.
When I'm happy, I see everything beautiful in front of me. I see my future, and I talk to the sea about what I want to do. If I'm sad, I talk to the sea like it's a friend and cry. This is me most of the time.
Watching you sitting here singing with your friends, it's like all your troubles are forgotten for a few minutes, and it's lovely to see.
Exactly. This is all we've got. Being by the sea and being with our friends. Distant lights in the night sky above waves rolling in.
I'd come to realize that after two decades of covering conflicts in Gaza, I'd played a part in perpetuating the image of Palestinians as victims. And I'd measured the strength of resistance by the number of rockets fired into Israel. Now, though, I'd met Gazans who rejected all that, who fought for their dreams simply by trying to live normal lives. Each dance class, each song, each film and play, an act of defiance.